It's time for us to discuss again our romantic delusions. It really is like that, isn't it? You know, in the Course in Miracles, for those of you who don't know, please be very aware that of the 600 and some odd pages in the text in the Course in Miracles, a big chunk of that book is about our romantic delusions. Because the truth of the matter is that in the Course, we're taught that our romantic delusions are the primary barrier in our minds to our achievement of peace in God, actually. Because this is how it happened, theoretically, in terms of the Course in Miracles. We were one with God. We were one with God, which means merely that all of our thoughts were focused on love. That's all it means to stay at one with God, because God is a thought. It's the thought of love. So the human mind being at one with God, at one with its creator, means that the human mind only saw in terms of the same kind of love that God loved with. Now, in the Course in Miracles, we are taught, the Holy Spirit says to us, I desire to teach you to be able to love as I love. I want you to be able to love other people as I love you. Now, the way God loves us, the Course in Miracles says, God loves everybody as much as he loves you, no more and no less. Right? God doesn't have a special thing going just with you. He loves everyone infinitely. Okay? Now, the Course in Miracles says that you are at peace in your life when your mind is aligned with God. Why? Because that's your identity. Having been created by God, you find your natural state when you are being his creation. Being God's creation means being his extension, means being as he is. Because all we are, the Course says, is that God's this perfect love. He extended himself, and that's the creation. So when we are being as God, that means we are the same fabric of God, right? The Course says the only difference between us is that he made us. We didn't make him. So when we are being as God is, which means loving as God loves, we will be at peace. Why? Because we're truly being ourselves. And you can't be at peace when you're not being yourself. So the Course says God desires then that you love everyone as he loves. And remember what that means. That means you love everybody the same. Nobody more and nobody less. Okay? Now the Course in Miracles says that what happened was that we began to separate our thoughts from the mind of God. That means that we began to see the world in a different way. In a different way. So at that moment when we began to see the world in a different way, the Course says, God in that instant placed within our minds what's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always trying to, it's a force of consciousness in your own mind which represents God's presence, and it's always this force within you which is trying to make you see how your perceptions can be brought back to perfect peace. Your perceptions will be brought back to perfect love so that you can be just like God, so that you can be happy. So the Course in Miracles says that when we first separated our minds from God, separated our minds from perfect love. Now, it happened in two ways. One, it happened in a sort of cosmic sense, the whole human consciousness, which in terms of time, as we know it, would be something that would have occurred millions and millions and millions of years ago. But it also occurs in our own individual lives. Because in our own individual lives, we're born to be just these perfectly loving creatures. And then we begin to be taught how to perceive differently. Right? So one way it happens in our own individual lives, and another way it happens the whole human consciousness, something we were all experiencing together, and that each of us just sort of recapitulate in our own individual lives. Okay? So the Holy Spirit comes in to try to get you back to God. But once you've made this separation from God, that separate identity, which is like a pseudo-self, you start perceiving other than the way God perceives, and you make for yourself like a pseudo-self. The pseudo-self is nothing then because it's not of God and only God really exists, but because you believe in it, it has a pseudo-life. Because anything you believe in is like a life form, because that's all that life is your belief in it. So what happened was your ego was manufactured, this pseudo-self, meaning your thoughts not of God's perfect love, then God created the Holy Spirit, and then the ego said, well, what am I going to do? Here I tried to separate them from God. Here God answers with his Holy Spirit to take them home. What can I do now? Make them believe in romantic love. Because if I can only get them to believe in romantic love, then they'll be focused on this one little aspect of the sonship. They'll think that salvation doesn't lie in loving everybody. They'll think that salvation lies in this perfect person, this one little piece of the whole. And if they think that, they will be, as the Course says, trying to find salvation in separation. meaning you will be trying to find your peace, your good, by separating out one aspect of the sonship from the rest. Now, you can't be happy if you do that, can you? Because you can only be happy if you love as God loves. And God doesn't love anybody special. God loves everybody infinitely. So if you're into this romantic love delusion where you think that this one person is your savior, to that extent you will be leaving out the rest of mankind, and to that extent you will be in hell no matter what they do, actually, if you wait long enough. All right? Now, but then you knew all that before you heard this. Now, this is what the Course says. The Course says that when you first separated, the way it works is that when you first separated yourself from God, on an unconscious level, you know, if you've ever read the Greek myth about Oedipus killing his father, okay? Oedipus killing his father and going to bed with his mother. This is very heavy imagery, psychologically speaking, and in terms of the archetype that it represents. Because when you cut off your conscious contact with God, it is as though you killed your father. You didn't really. You can't kill God. But if you turn your face from him, you see that he's gone, and you think you must have killed him. Now, all this is going on a real unconscious level, and in terms of the whole species, like I said, it's this whole, you know, cosmic drama unfolding, but you can look at your own life and see it too. Remember when you were a little kid and you talked to plants or you talked to trees or you had the idea that there were, you know, imaginary friends around you? You had a sense of the mystical when you were a child. We all have a sense of the mystical when we are little children, and then we're taught other kinds of perceptions, and it is as though we lose it. Now, really, nothing went away. It's just that we were no longer focused on those things, and it is as though a blockage came between ourselves and God. Now, what happens, the Course says, is that when you separate yourself from God on an unconscious level, you feel like you have killed God, and it makes you feel very, very guilty. And that's why you have no self-esteem. We have no self-esteem, such low self-esteem, because if you feel on an unconscious level like you cut off your contact with God, you feel that you have this huge gap inside of yourself. Because the truth is, you cut yourself off from your actual identity. You think that you cut yourself off from your actual identity. I remember when I first read in The Course in Miracles, the ego doesn't tell you that you did something wrong. The ego just tells you that you are wrong. And I said, yes. That is it. I remember I used to actually go through my mind wondering what I had done as a child that I had blocked from my memory, that I would feel so bad, that I would feel so guilty. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just everything made me feel guilty. Everything, I knew that I wasn't good enough. I knew everybody else was good enough, but I wasn't. That's the kind of thing that the ego constantly cultivates. Now, the world then tells you, well, if you get this education or you get this whatever, then you'll be good enough. But that works two ways. One thing is that even if you get those things that the world tells you to get, in order to have self-esteem, that ultimately won't work because it's on a different level of your gut that you feel like you're nothing. So then you'll be feeling like, I got the education, I got the job, but if they only knew me, they'd see that I'm not good enough. Or the other way that works, and what I think is probably even more prevalent, is that when you think you're not good enough, you find yourself blocked, paralyzed when you go out to try to get those things because you constantly sabotage yourself because this voice is saying to you, you're not good enough. What are you trying to do that for? You'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to have that job. You'll never be able to get that money. You'll never have that education. What are you doing? You're not good enough, remember? So you're thinking that all the time, that you're not good enough, and all of that negative emotion, all those negative thoughts about you're not being good enough are what the Course in Miracles calls your guilt. It's your own, you don't even realize consciously sometimes that it is your guilt. But it is, because on an unconscious level, you feel guilty because you think you've separated yourself from God. You think you've killed God. That's what makes us such angry people. On one hand, we're sitting here feeling no self-esteem in us. On the other hand, the way the ego works, the Course says, is that there's this thing called projection. And that's the ego says, I know you feel rotten about yourself, and it's really difficult to tolerate. It's really difficult for you to tolerate feeling so rotten about yourself. So I will compensate. That's what the unconscious does. I will compensate to help you not feel so rotten. We'll project it onto other people. You're not rotten. They are. So then you start getting really angry. So not only do you feel like you're nothing, but you're angry at other people. You're angry at other people, but the problem with that is that whatever you think about other people, you think about yourself. So you had low self-esteem anyway. Then you go around being angry at other people because you can't handle the guilt, which is in fact your low self-esteem because it's your sense you're not of God. You project it onto other people thinking they're guilty. So then you have got a double whammy against yourself. You will think you're guilty on top of thinking that you're nothing. So you think you're a worm, and you're guilty, and you don't even remember what you did. Right? Right. So then the Course in Miracles, so then what happens, and it happens to all of us, but we don't usually see the intimate connection is, if only I was in love, I wouldn't feel this way. Right? So what happens, the ego says, you see, if you had this one special love, because the thing is, you feel like you're incomplete inside. You feel there's a lack inside of you, and you've got to make up for it. You just feel you have to relate. You have to make contact with the universe. You feel like you're over here, and it's true, you do. So the actual bottom impulse is absolutely valid. It's that I'm stuck alone over here. I've got to be part of the universe, or I will die. You're right. You're right, but the delusion is we have this idea that this one relationship would do it. This one person would do it. But since that's not loving as God loves, really that's not the issue, because the issue of your misery was not that you were separated from one person. The issue of your misery, what caused your misery, was that you were separated from God, not from any one person. So the only way you can complete that sense of lack, the only way you can get back to feeling peaceful, is not by making contact with one particular person, it's by making your contact with God, healing your separation with God. Now, where does God exist? In everybody. So the only way to find your healing is to then repair your relationship with God, means your relationship with everyone that you meet. The Course says your relationship is with the universe. When you don't do that, and you're instead coming from this idea that I have this lack, but I can fix it by having this one relationship with this one person, what actually happens is that you think you love this person, but what's really going on psychologically is the only reason you're in this relationship is because of how guilty you feel. Remember? Because you feel this lack inside, so that person becomes the symbol of your guilt to you. So really, the truth of the matter is, even though you're in this loving relationship, it will be based on guilt. It will be based on the projection. That's why you love them at first, and then they just seem so inadequate so soon. Right? Because you're coming from a place you wouldn't be so in love sometimes if you basically didn't feel so inadequate, because really what's happening is that you're trying to compensate for the fact you feel so inadequate. And so then that stuff will sort of begin to come up for you, and you will have to project it onto somebody else. Now, this is why, and the interesting thing to remember is that the Course is not against intimacy. The Course is not against loving relationships. All that the Course is about is how to cultivate loving relationships. And obviously, even though you are supposed to love everyone, you are obviously not supposed to sleep with everyone that you love. So it is true that given the life of the Holy Spirit, you will, although being taught to love everyone, some form will be appropriate in your love with some people that's not with others. But in the enlightened place, your lover or your spouse, your mate, whatever, even though you might have a form of contact with them, sexual or whatever, or just spending more time with them or whatever, that's just form. That doesn't mean that you love them more. It doesn't mean that you love them more. Now, what you see then is that when you meet people, and especially when you are particularly attracted, from this place of trying to compensate for your lack, that of course says that the ego is really telling you, you know, you don't have that certain stuff. You know how you don't look good enough? They do. You know how you don't have it together in this area? They do. And sometimes it's very unconscious. You don't even realize what the reasons are. You just think it was love at first sight. Really, it was neurosis real high at first sight. Right? So the ego is sending you to that person, and you have this idea that being with this person matches, and you have all this cultural stimulus saying, yeah, you're right. One walk on the beach and you'll be in heaven forever. Right? You have all this cultural stimulus which says, yes, this is your salvation. And you know, I know when I was a little girl, and I'm sure that it's, you know, I really do believe that everybody's stuff with their parents is the same, but just in a different form. And I remember how Daddy was coming home. I mean, the McGill that was made because Daddy was coming home. Every day of my life, I mean, you changed your clothes, you came home. I mean, my mother, you know, God bless her, and there's a beautiful aspect to that. Actually, I just think it would be more beautiful if the same scene was made when Mommy came home, or the same scene was made when the kids came home. But it was, no, the skies opened, you know, the sea parted because Daddy was coming home. So I got from my mom, you know, life is dull, and then Daddy comes home. So, you know, you got all of this stuff. And then Daddy comes home, the biggest thing in the day, and he doesn't want to talk to you. That says something to your head, doesn't it? So you're coming from all this imagery that you've been taught all your life. It's not that he didn't want to talk to me, but he didn't want to talk to me about the things and the time. Boy, when I judge somebody up here, it's just like, ugh. So you have all of this stuff. You have all this stuff going on that makes you feel that that one person will be it. Now, remember what I just said. The Course is not against your having wonderful relationships. The Course is not against your getting married if you feel like you want to get married. The Course is not against if you feel that you want to get married and you want to have babies. That's beautiful. The issue is, what we tend to do is to say, this is the picture I have, that I will meet someone, and then we will have a home, or for a lot of us, and then we will get married, and then we'll have kids. And you're in love with the picture. You're in love with the picture because that is what you have come to think in your mind would save you. Now, the thing the Course in Miracles says is that the mind cannot serve two masters. So you're either going to be living your life according to the imagery of the ego, or you're going to be living your life focusing on the imagery of the Holy Spirit. Now, the imagery of the ego says, this might be the one. Right? And the imagery of the ego, even when you meet that one, this would do it. Will we get married? Right, all that stuff. Well, do you think we'll stay together? Will you still love me 2 months from now? Will you call me when you get off work today? That's all that stuff, that need that begins to come because you've got this idea that this person is your salvation, that your incompletion will be healed now because of your relationship with that person. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't thinking form. The ego thinks form, getting married, being there later tonight, will they make love to me? All that stuff that has to do with form and body, that's the realm of the ego. The Holy Spirit isn't thinking, what am I going to get from you? The Holy Spirit is thinking, how can I serve you? How can I love you? All I give is given to myself. Now see, the ego delusion is, the fact that I want to marry you and the fact that I want to have your children shows just how much I'm willing to give to you. Bullshit. Because really, the ego is telling you, I am so selfless. I am bringing my love. But you see, that's not what's really happening. What's really happening is, I'm bringing my suitcases. I'm coming now. You thought you just met a person, but I have 16 trunks that I carry with me. Right? So you're not, you have this idea you're coming from this very selfless place, but you're not coming from a selfless place at all. You meet this person, and instead of relating from content to content, which is person to person, in that moment, you were instead bringing all this stuff from your past, and in your past, you came to believe that if only this person would do this, do that, do this, or whatever would unfold on the earth form according to the images of your past, then you would be saved. So really, sometimes you realize you're not concerned with the person at all. And that's why the Course says that a lot of what we call love is hate. And a lot of what we call love is just learning how to make another person guilty. I thought because you were with me that it would mean that. Right? Don't feel bad because I've gone through this before. Right? So the Course in Miracles says there's a wonderful image in the Course in Miracles where it says that you look at relationships and there's a beautiful image. He says it's like a picture in a frame. Now the picture in the frame is you met this person and you feel very attracted to them. And you feel, and to us, that is of God because all relationships are assignments. So you met this person and you were attracted to them, which means that's what the Course calls an assignment. Now the way the ego looks at it is the picture is right here. And what the ego mind does with it has to do with the frame. The ego isn't even that concerned with the picture. The ego is concerned with this huge Baroque frame. And the Course says, and the frame has rubies in it, and the frame has diamonds in it. And those rubies become your blood, and those diamonds become your tears. Because as long as you're looking at the picture and you're more concerned with the frame, i.e. what people do on the outside, who gets married, who has sex, who comes, goes, who calls, who doesn't, all of that stuff, you're concerned with the frame and not with the picture. Now, the Course says with the Holy Spirit, you are concerned with the picture. The picture is what becomes big, and that's the content of the relationship, right? The content of the relationship, and you're worried about the picture. That's what concerns you. Not you're worried about it, but you're experiencing the picture rather than the frame. And the frame becomes something very light, just enough to hold the picture up, which means that a structure on the earth plane, but the structure on the earth plane, the form that things take, is not your basic concern. It's what's going on between the people. Now, if you know, for instance, that what you would like, that doesn't mean... It doesn't mean that you should feel guilty if you want to get married, or you should feel guilty if you want to have children. No, that's perfectly fine. That's beautiful. That's valid. That's wonderful. But the issue is, what we tend to do is to take our desires and then see people. It's almost like we track them. In fact, that's exactly what we do. We try to entrap them. Oh, I think you'd be perfect for my picture that I have here. Right? And we've all had this. Not only have we all done this, we've all had this done to us on a certain level. Do you know what I'm saying? So really, that's not loving the person or allowing them to be. You're trying to make your pictures happen, right? And on unconscious level, you just think, I'm just trying to make that happen, and if it would be so good for me, it would be good for the other person. The issue in the Course in Miracles of surrender is that if in fact it would make you happy to be married, or if in fact it would make you happy to live with someone, or if in fact it would make you happy to have children, or whatever that is, if that in fact, if according to cosmic law, that is what would make you happiest, which means, and the Course of God knows what would make you happy more than you do, that's coming. That's coming, but in a very real sense, it's none of your business who it is. In a very real sense, it's none of your business what form is for you to simply allow that to happen. And know that if that is for your good, that is what will happen. But the sure way to make sure that it doesn't happen, and this is the whole issue of understanding that the ego does not work and God does. The sure way to make sure that it will not happen is by loading all your relationships with these suitcases so that the other person feels the other person doesn't want to be there. Because whenever you're coming from your ego, you are unattractive. Now, we think of unattractive in terms of physical terms or in terms of personality to other people. Unattractive means merely that, unattractive. You're not a magnet for that which is good. It's not only that people don't come to you, it's that nothing comes to you. Because you've blocked off the attractive force. The attractive force is where you merely stand as a radiant beacon of light, as God's love, and then you know how a magnet works? It falls into a specific pattern. The iron shavings come into a specific pattern. You are a magnet, and the specific pattern that all the iron shavings are supposed to come into has to do with you at your most abundant. You at your happiest. You in the perfect relationship, the perfect form of relationship, the perfect money, the perfect everything. When you load your own stuff into what it should look like and how it should be, and I think this person might be it, etc., then what you're doing is stand, it's like if you put something in front of the magnet, so that the iron shavings weren't attracted to it. Or the iron shavings just come in chaotic patterns. Does that make sense? And so that's what happens in our romances, the Course says, is that we just get chaotic patterns rather than order, because instead of allowing the patterns to reveal themselves to us, we have this idea of what we want it to look like. And the way we want it to look is so limited. We have this idea, well, here's my savior, this one relationship with the husband and the house and the kids or whatever it is, and then we don't even have any idea what the rest of this stuff's supposed to be, actually. Like, the rest is just kind of what we wade through on our way to this haven, right? What we're wading through, you know. And we've talked about this here before. We've all related to people like that or been related to, get out of the way, please. I think the right one is over there. If you just get out of the way. Right? Right? I'm going towards this something, going towards something outside of myself or going something in the future. Course in Miracles says you are not going to find your peace because even, you know, being married to the wrong person is hell on earth, in case any of you haven't ever experienced that. So the idea that if only I got married, it would be heavenly, maybe yes or maybe no, actually. So the issue is to achieve any kind of form is not necessarily going to bring you happiness anyway. What's going to bring you happiness, of course, is has nothing to do with the world of form with a particular person. The only way you can achieve your happiness is when you repair your relationship with God. Because once you repair your relationship with God that has been severed, then you realize you are a whole person. Then you realize you're a whole unit. See, with a special relationship, you feel like an emotional invalid. You find somebody else is an emotional invalid, and it's like two emotional invalids joined at the hip. Right? Nobody's a whole person. Two broken people meeting, and they call it love. right? Now, in the holy relationship where the Holy Spirit is dominating, it's that everyone is an abundant self. We're not coming from need. We might be coming from desire, but we are not coming from inappropriate need. It's that you join with another person in order to share your abundance. You're not coming from a place, I need you to complete me. You're already completed by God, and then that makes you a very attractive person. See what I mean? How your oneness with God makes you attractive. You can see in your relationships how that works. Because when you're coming from your own stuff about need, you're not attractive. You're needy, and you're dependent, and everybody gets glitchy in your presence. It's not real dynamic. But when you come from a place where you are not needy, but you, because of your oneness with God, and it's only when you have your relationship with God repaired that you are not needy. Now, to say your relationship with God repaired, that doesn't mean the word God, but it does mean living from a place where you're on this earth to spread love into the lives of other people. So you're sitting here, all the service that you might be doing, all of this ministry you might be performing, all of this love you might be giving in the world, but it's one of the reasons why you're not going out and doing it is because you're neurosing about your love life. Well, your real love life has to do with your getting out of the house and getting some energy that has to do with your service to the world. Because when you serve the world, you are forming your relationship to God. That's why the Course in Miracles says the teacher of God is generous out of self-interest. You're generous out of self-interest means I'm not just doing this for your sake. I'm doing this because I understand that my relationship with anyone is my relationship with myself. There is only one of us here, the Course says. That's the meaning of there is only one begotten Son. So the issue is understanding that my relationship isn't with this one person. My relationship is with the world. Now, what happens is that's the only way to have genuine self-esteem. Money can't give you genuine self-esteem. Mm-mm. Not after a while. You know, money and sex and all those things on the outer plane are like temporary relief of minor existential pain, we say here. Just temporary relief. But when you start living your life in such a way that the response of other people back to you is one of dignity and one of respect and one where there is gratitude, you see a lot of gratitude in their eyes shot your way, it's real difficult to have a low sense of yourself. It's real difficult to have. It's real difficult to go to bed knowing how much people, how, you know, really knowing that people are grateful for your existence and thinking that you're not much. I mean, it gets you where you live. And so then the ego has no power. Then you meet those people you're attracted to, and you're coming from a place of your own wholeness. And you know that you have such a solid relationship. You see, if you build your house on the things of this world, it's like Jesus in the Bible talking about you can build your house on sand, or you can build your house on rock. If your house is built on sand, the winds come, the rains come, and you're blown away. If your house is built on rock, the winds can come, and the rains can come, and you're fine. To build your house on sand means something in the world being a certain way, my relationship with a certain person, my relationship with money, something in the world of form. And then there are upsets in that area and you're blown away. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to stay whole and stay on a firm foundation emotionally. If your house is built on rock, that means it's your relationship with God. It means your relationship with the universe. It means your relationship with living as a being here to extend the love of God. Then the winds can come and the rains can come and you're not blown away. Relationship forms can change in relationship as they are going to do. No, they're going to do. I have mentioned it here before that my life changed when I got that men leave and people die. Those are two things that go on this world. And the issue is not to live your life constantly resisting the end of a relationship or people's death, but rather changing your focus on both of those things. What if both of those things are okay? Maybe if I shift my perception and understand that those can be the most natural things in the world and that there's really no problem inherent with that at all. Then you're coming from a place where you don't think of yourself in terms of a hurt, wounded puppy. You're not a hurt, wounded puppy, and you are a whole being. That's why, you know, it doesn't matter what your mom did to you or what your dad did to you or what your first husband did to you or your first wife, any of that stuff in the past. The Course says you always have an opportunity in the present to heal those relationships, not just with them, but with whoever comes into your life. If you live a life at one with God in this moment, when you heal the present, the past and the future are healed automatically. When you heal in the present by being a man or a woman of God, which means a man or a woman of enthusiastic service of the universe around you and the love that you give to other people and actually getting involved in activities that don't have to do with what will you get, the money you get or the approval that you get or anything, but it just has to do with what you can give because you know that to give and to receive are one in truth. When you do that, then you're coming from a place which is so strong. Then you're coming from a place which is so strong that you don't have to worry about anything that happens to you because you are coming from that place of wholeness within yourself. Then you realize, then that whole myth begins to drop. I know I see it in couples all the time. I see men doing it to women, men doing it to men, women doing it to women, women doing it to men. It doesn't matter. This idea that one person is so concerned with the form in the relationship and the other person is real bored with the fact that the other person is just thinking form all the time. And the other person who's having that trip laid on them is really right to say, I don't think you love me at all. I don't think you're really focused on me at all. And you think this is for both of us, but you're loading all your stuff on me rather than just allowing it to be. When we allow relationships to be given to God for His purposes, then we know that there are all kinds of form of relationships, and they're all supposed to be intimate. The Course says you're supposed to have 100% commitment to all of your relationships. But there's not just romance and then everything else. It's like all life becomes romantic. I've said here so many times that I feel my romances have become more brotherly and my life has become more romantic. Everybody, with everyone you were relating God to God, everyone you were relating the level of Christ within you to the level of Christ within them. And form will take care of itself. Form will have to do with something coming forth on the physical plane, but you begin to understand that the physical plane is not what matters. Even sex, of course, is the body is a beautiful lesson in communion until communion is. Once you're totally in this place, once you're totally in that place where you are just in mental communion all the time, you won't even need any activity of the body to make it closer. In the meantime, the body does do that in beautiful ways, calling people, going out with people, making love to people, whatever it is. But when it's in the service of and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit within you, it will always be leading you to greater intimacy. And when it's not being used by the Holy Spirit, but it's being used by the ego, it will actually, in a very insidious way, be used to actually make the relationship more of separation. And sex is a perfect way to see that. Sometimes sex brings you closer with people, and sometimes sex creates more distance than there was before. Isn't that right? And that's why. Because if sex is just the mind thinking that if I make love to this person, then we will be closer, that's a delusion. That's a delusion, because that the body's getting closer is not what makes people close. People getting married is not what makes people close. People having children is not what makes people close. Nothing in terms of the world of form itself is what will make people close. What will make people close has to do with a mental intimacy and an opening of the mind and an opening of the heart, sometimes, which is sometimes served by the activity on the physical form. But when it comes from the Holy Spirit, it has a light touch to it. It doesn't have this heavy touch to it. And you can feel it. And you can feel the difference. This is a big issue for us. And one of the reasons it's such a big issue is, number one, because we all do this, and number two, because it's so hard to stop. It's so hard to stop because, as I said, the ego, this is the ego's biggest gun. Of course, this is the ego's biggest gun. As long as you're constantly neurosing on when they're going to get here, it's real hard for you to find the mountaintop. Because it's not that there's no, that Mr. Wright's not coming. It's that everyone you meet is Mr. Wright. See what I'm saying? Everyone you meet, the relationship is what it is. It's not a matter of, is this the one? This is who's in front of you right now. It's all part of the pattern. The Course is, you're always trying to teach reality what reality means. Allow reality to teach you what it means. And know that you don't have to rush things and you don't have to manipulate things. And I think women go into this particularly. We all have this idea about my ovaries are getting older. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God knows exactly what shape your ovaries are in. The Holy Spirit knows all of this, and any woman in this room knows that if she goes into a relationship with a man with that kind of thing, my ovaries, it's like, it's not, as we said, it's not attractive. Okay? So the issue becomes that we ask for a healing in these areas. We know that whenever I'm coming with all my romantic mythology, I may or may not be as loving as I think I am. Really, and the Course says that the ego is always striving to use guilt to bring the other person into your relationship. And you will use guilt. I mean, that's just what we've all done. It's what we've all been taught to do. We're making the other person feel guilty. So in the Course in Miracles, we ask the Holy Spirit to enter into this area of our lives and to completely, it's like to, when you, or set a computer. What is it called when you put the words into the computer that you want? Program a computer. You are asking literally that your mind be reprogrammed. That's what the Course in Miracles says. We are asking for a complete reversal in our thought system. We're asking for a complete 180-degree change in this area as well as every other. Dear God, please reprogram my vision. Your appetites arise from your thoughts and not the other way around. Please, I want to have a completely different vision of the subject of romance because I want to come from a place where I realize my romance with the world. Why? Not so that I will no longer have those individual romances, but so that my individual romances can come from a place of strength and not from neediness, from a place where people are helping each other. You see, the issue is that romance is not supposed to be. Our romances are based on sacrifice. I sacrifice. I heard this woman say the other day, I gave this up. And he said, well, I gave that up. And both of them were saying, like, I'm so good, I gave this up. I said, I think you're both crazy. What is giving up? What do you think that's what relationship is? I sacrificed for you. Who asked you to? That a real relationship dominated by God is not where anybody's supposed to sacrifice. It's where everybody's got all these wonderful pooled resources and everybody's life is expanded and better because of it. Of course, it's one of the ways you can tell that a relationship is dominated by the ego is when it's all about you and this other person and you're not even looking at the rest of the world. Relationship, an intimate relationship dominated by the Holy Spirit is one where the relationship itself becomes a foundation for each person's service of the world. It's just that when two are gathered, they become more than what they are as individuals. So a real relationship, a close, intimate relationship given to God is truly, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit every time two people gather. So we're not against relationship. We're just saying that what the ego mind does with relationship has to do with it being used for your own purposes. Anytime you use anything for your own purposes, it is not of God, and it will hurt you, and it will hurt others. Anytime you realize that anything's come to you as a gift, not just for your sake, but for the sake of the world, so that through that the world might gain, is something where it's being used by the Holy Spirit in your mind, and that means that it will bring you peace, and it will bring you expansion, not only for yourself, but for the world. In the meantime, when you're on the way from the ego place to the Holy Spirit place, what you do is you pray. What you do is that you ask. We constantly ask, dear God, take my perceptions of this. We all know that when it comes to this subject, we have more potential for insanity than any other. When we feel insane in terms of relationships, the issue is not with us that we pretend we don't feel insane, but we say those three wonderful words, God help me. I do feel insane here, but I don't know how this is supposed to look. I have not been given the imagery in my life that shows me how this is supposed to look. What it looks like isn't even the issue. Dear God, please take this. This is not my relationship. This is not the other person's relationship. This is the Holy Spirit's relationship. It is God's relationship to do with what He wants. And what He wants is for everybody to be happy. Thank you very much. Amen.